Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by BetterHelp. Get yourself 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/ghost stories. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what do you do when the activity of the unexplained goes out of control in your house? That we find out on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. The phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you really like the show, we would appreciate your support. It's only $5 a month to get access to hundreds of bonus episodes, literally 300 some full-length bonus episodes you get to binge away on with our best ghost stories of like the last 7 or 8 years. All there for you exclusively as an EPP, an extra podcast person. You also get advanced episodes of the show, the regular show that you hear every day, but no commercials in it, and weeks before it's released to the public. All that and more when you become an extra podcast person. You get our ebook or audiobook, both Amazon bestsellers. You get them for free. Sign up, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Or you can sign up for a full year if you want to get 1 month free as well. So add that on top of all this stuff and help keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you on today's episode. And how are you doing this fine day?
You know, Tony, I'm not too bad.
That's good. That's good to hear. I'm doing good. I have all these new things in the studio that I have to hang. Sitting right behind me is now the picture from the picture saga that's been playing out on the air over the last couple of weeks that we've been talking about. That is the battlefield one that Jen had years ago and then lost it, and then it has come back into our world through an antique store, and now is sitting right back here. I'm going to get that up on the wall. And another thing that I found this weekend that I'm super excited about, I was in an antique store, and this antique store is in our town, and it's also supposedly haunted as well. Many stories there that I'd like to dig into more. But at this antique store, up high on the wall, as I was leaving, I noticed this because I love architectural antiques. I found myself, take a guess. Any guesses?
You found something for you.
Yes.
I have no idea.
You actually just said it in what your last sentence was. Eye windows. I found two eye windows that were architecturally out of an old house. And they look like the Amityville windows.
And, oh, my God.
And they are leaning against my closet over there. I'm going to put them up here on the wall pretty soon. And they are perfect. They look just like the Amityville windows.
Oh, hell no. So, there is no way I would do that.
I've not even posted any pictures of these yet because I want to have them like placed up where I want them to be before I even show them to the world. But they're not like the Amityville windows, but they are certainly, they're not like reproductions that, you know, you bought at home or something. These are out of someone's house and they, you know, they knocked them out when I'm sure they were tearing the house down. But
well, maybe what you could, like, to make them feel a little happier, you could find some fun like playground scene or something to like a picture of happiness.
How would I put I put the picture of the battlefield in between the two windows? I think that might work. I was actually thinking about that earlier. I'm like, that might work. Although what I have eyed up here, because I have this big closet door in this the studio that I can put them above that, and it almost is going to kind of look like the house a little bit in a fun kind of way. So I think that's where I'm going to put that, and I already the picture's going to go on the other wall. But it's kind of fun. We're adding to the studio with things that are a bit spooky, a bit weird, and very much represent what we're all about. So,
well, I will not be doing anything like that. Nothing even close.
I'll send you a window.
If you want to send me a big Cubs logo or something, I'll put that up somewhere. Mm-hmm. But yeah, none of that shit that you got.
I actually just this week talked about the Cubs curse. And I don't know a whole lot about it, so I had to do a Wikipedia search on it real quick. What is that curse, and what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the Cubs just have a lot of other issues other than a goat.
Okay.
But yeah, that was the deal. Some guy tried to bring a goat into a game, and it was like 19... I don't even know what year
way
it was.
Way back, yeah.
The one before this one, like in 1908.
Yeah.
And so it was probably after that World Series, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. Guy tries to bring the goat into the stadium. They're like, no, you can't. And he's like, I'm going to put a curse on you. Supposedly.
Yeah.
But then they did break the curse. Mm-hmm. The whole thing, you know, because they'd get close a lot of years. And then a lot of years, they just had a really shitty team.
Did you put any stock in it?
Come on, could it be a curse, or you just have a crappy team this
year? When you look at it, and for all those years, and they obviously did finally break it. When you look at it, curse or just crappy team for many years?
Crappy team for many years.
Okay, well there you go.
And yeah, God, they had a really crappy team for a long time. The last several years, they've certainly gotten much better.
Okay.
They're spending the money that you have to spend.
I did not know what it was. I was actually a friend of ours, Rick Thomas, his podcast, he called and said, can you talk about curses? I'm like, I don't follow sports.
But that's a great one to talk about.
Yeah, so I read up on it, and then I kind of tied it into other stuff, too. And so it was interesting to talk about. Anyway, 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Story. Stories online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. Let's go to our first ghost story today that's been sent in. It says, hi guys, I just phoned in my story, but I stammered a bit, so I figured I'd send it here too. My name's Madison. My story takes place across the lake in Grand Haven, Michigan. My dad bought the house shortly after his divorce from my mom. The home was built in the 1920s and had gorgeous custom woodwork all throughout the home. Hardwood floors, beautiful built-ins in the library, family room, dining room. Remember that for later. When we first moved in, my brother and I were little, so until we adjusted, we slept in the same room together. We both would constantly feel depression at the end of the bed, as if someone was sitting there. Years later, I had a friend stay the night, and she woke up to see a little girl at the end of the same bed and bedroom as years before, where we always felt something sitting. A few weeks later, I was out, but my parents heard someone inside the house calling out my name. Madeline? Madeline? Then they heard my bedroom door open and close. We live in a central location. My friends would always stop by. It was not unusual for them to walk right in and look for me. My parents got up to see who was in the house and let them know I was in town with so-and-so. No one was in my room or in the house at all. Years later, we found out our next-door neighbors have lots of experiences with a little girl in their home who is actually not there. A few years later, the activity in the home really started to pick up. I got up in the middle of the night to grab a glass of water, came out of my bedroom to head towards the kitchen, and right before I hit the hallway to turn into the kitchen, an orb, about the size of a basketball, shoots horizontally in front of me, down the hallway. And I was frozen. I could not move. Eventually, I got the courage to run back to my bedroom. Things would often disappear in that house once my stepmom and I put our cameras on the kitchen counter side by side. I went to head out and grab them, only to find mine was missing. She and I searched the whole house, feeling defeated, and now late we decided we would be without. We went back to grab her camera. Mine was sitting right next to hers as if it had never moved. A few months later, we were having a party. My grandmother saw a man walk up the stairs into my parents' bedroom. My parents' room was a loft style, so once you go up the stairs, it was just an open room. My grandmother, knowing no one should go up there, followed right behind the man, and when she got upstairs, no one was there. At the same party, my dad's friends set two drinks on the built-in shelves in the library. They turned around to grab their guitars from the cases. When they turned back around to grab their drinks, they were gone. They were both shocked when they saw both drinks on a marble table about a foot away. This would happen often. Any time an object that could potentially ruin the woodwork was placed on the built-ins, often you had come back to find it in a different place. The activity slowed down after about 10 years in the home, almost as if someone just wanted to stick around a little longer to make sure the new owner was properly caring for the beloved home. My parents still live in the house today, and when I walk in, I don't feel an extra presence anymore. I'm an empath and have lots more stories for another time. Thoughts on that one?
Number one, I would freak out if I saw an orb the size of a basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because, you know, we hear a lot about people seeing ghosts and things in some orbs, but I've never heard of something like that.
Yeah. The only thing that comes to mind is ball lightning, but that's not that. In this case.
We talked about that a week or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's crazy. But, like, the whole thing, there was a lot.
There was. I mean, a lot of activity, neighbors having things. It makes you wonder if there's something more to do with the property, the land in the general area than it does that house specifically. When you have kind of whole neighborhoods that have something going on with them.
Well, and just like, you know, with the kids running in and out of her house, her friends coming, you know, like probably your house was the same way.
Yeah.
So maybe back in the day, it was kind of the same way. The kids ran in and out of their friends' houses and very intertwined as families like they are now.
And maybe they're still doing the same thing. Except, I could see that. Thank you for sharing that story with us. Back to the conversation in just a moment. First, I want to thank our supporter today, BetterHelp. If there is something interfering with your happiness right now, and gosh knows there's a lot going on in our world, and then add anything personal on top of that, it can be a lot. It can be a lot of weight, and that weight can lead to depression. It can lead to anxiety. It can lead to all sorts of things. The key is recognizing that and saying, you know what, I want to be a better version of me. And BetterHelp is there to help you do just that. BetterHelp will assess your needs, match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely and online. It's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be available locally in your area. A lot of folks, it's like a desert when it comes to that. But this eliminates that. This puts people that can help you, maybe they're in other physical parts of the country, right by you. In fact, you can access BetterHelp anywhere on the planet. Broad range of expertise available right there for you. You can log into your account anytime, send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room wearing masks or looking across the room going, why is that person not wearing a mask? Takes all of that out of there, okay? Takes all the traditional therapy stuff that's not productive out of the equation and just sticks with the productive part of it. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. Folks are saying a lot of good stuff about BetterHelp. Here's an example on their website. Deborah has been a great listener, made some good suggestions on things that could help me. I feel like she really listens and tries to understand my difficulties. I like how she checked back with me, even when I said I thought I was doing okay and no longer needed to talk to her, because I realized I really did need to. There are thousands of reviews from real people just like you and me, all saying how helpful this service is. I highly encourage you to check it out if you're feeling like, you know what, I really could use some help right now. There's nothing wrong with admitting it. That is the first step to feeling better. Visit betterhelp.com/ghost stories. That's better, H-E-L-P. And join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Got a special offer for you guys, listeners of our program. Get 10% off your first month. Visit BetterHelp.com/ghost stories. That's BetterHelp.com/ghost stories. 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next letter, it says, so I've called a few stories in, and I always feel like I leave something out or do not emphasize a part of the story enough, so I thought I would try writing it out and letting you read it. I also called this in, so if you want to use the story, you can take your pick of which one to use. So here we go. I made my way finally to Point Pleasant. I crossed the Silver Bridge and walked the blood-soaked fields where the Battle of Quanta took place. I walked the streets and absorbed the energy that hovered like unseen clouds. I approached an older woman walking her dog, and she was overly sweet and made me think of my mom, God rest her soul. I knew there'd be no harsh words or anger from this gentle lady. After some pleasant chit-chat, I learned she was born at Point Pleasant and that the stories were every bit as real as we've come to learn. I asked her if she had had a personal story of the Mothman that she might share. So not the Mothman, but I do have a story. One from childhood that I've never told anyone, not even my parents. I was maybe 11 or 12 and walking home after playing, and it was getting dark. I caught something out of the corner of my eye. When I looked, I saw a large plane losing altitude. It just came closer and closer until it leveled out and passed awfully close. So close that I could see the passengers in their seats looking straight ahead and silhouetted against the interior lights. I could see their faces. It passed by and began to gain altitude. The strangest thing that I've ever heard and sound. I can't believe I told you that story. I always felt that people would think I'm crazy. I suppose I can see that you're terribly interested, so there you have it. With that, she turned away and walked away. I saw the museum and ammo bunkers, a TNT plant, and returned to the hotel. I awoke the next morning to find two old-looking drops of blood on my pillow, still fresh. It startled me. Got up to see if it may have come from my ear as I headed to the bathroom, and I noticed more blood on the blanket at the foot of the bed. In the bathroom, there were two spots of blood on the floor. I checked myself in the mirror and saw no blood in either ear. No nicks from shaving, no nicks in my arms, hands, shoulders, neck, or anywhere in my head. No nosebleed. I have no idea whatsoever where the blood originated, and here is what really spooked me. They looked like two very strange faces. There were no phone calls, no prophecies of planes crashing or bridges collapsing, but I left Point Pleasant, West Virginia, with a distinct and clear sense that I had tapped into energy, peeked behind the curtain of Oz, and maybe, just maybe, I got their attention. It's a very strange experience for me. Love the show, Tom. So, kind of a weird story to...
Yeah, I had a hard time following all that.
Yeah, so essentially, he visits Point Pleasant because he's curious about all of the stories out of there with Mothman and everything, and that's where that bridge collapsed and such, and goes on a walk, has this bizarre conversation with a woman...
Who saw a plane and it was so close she saw the people's faces?
Which I don't know that you could even do that, unless it's about to land, but what a bizarre thing.
Unless he was, like, flying.
Yeah, and then he goes back to his hotel, and then he's finding these weird blood spots in different places, but can't explain how or why they have shown up. So,
which is creepy.
It is. Overall, just a creepy, weird weekend experience, it sounds like. Not exactly seeing a ghost per se, but certainly having just a weird series of events that would bug me.
Well, and the person he talked to, that could, I mean, for real, we've talked to some crazy people.
Yeah.
And that could have explained that. The blood, I don't even have any idea.
I don't know. I mean, is it connected? I don't have any idea either, but I understand where you walk away from that weekend going, I don't know what to say about that. That was just really weird.
Well, and then, of course, going to that particular place for that reason. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bit creepy. Thank you for sharing that experience with us here on the program. We do greatly appreciate it. Phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. We love to do that and hear your ghost stories. So I bought over the weekend, a metal detector. I've never used a metal detector. Maybe I'll get a CB radio next. But go all 80s technology. But I got a metal detector, and I'm curious to wander around the property here and see if I find anything. Just knowing that this was an area where some of the Civil War soldiers had kind of, you know, been camped out and such prior to their battle here. I'm really getting into the history here, as everyone can tell. You know, also Native Americans in this area as well. Picking up metal, I don't know what I'll find there, but maybe something. But I was playing with it a little bit earlier. Didn't find a whole lot. Found some barbed wire, but that's about it.
I think you'll find some stuff.
Have you ever used one?
I really do. I have never used one. The other day I was walking my dog and there was a guy at the park trying to, and I'm like, I don't know what he's looking for, because it's like at the Frisbee golf park. So I'm like, change? Or is he looking for remnants of bullets? I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, what would you find in a very high traffic Frisbee golf park?
Maybe you lost your keys.
Other than getting in the way of the guys, they're all kind of stoner guys, a lot of them. So they're probably pretty kind about it.
Yeah.
But it's like, I just thought it was kind of strange. But I could also see how, if you did find something, how it would become rather addictive.
Yeah.
You know, if you found something pretty cool and then it's like, man, maybe I'll find something else. Then you find something else. Yeah, then you're going to be the guy every weekend out there. It's like, honey, I can't feed the animals.
I'm in the front pasture with a shovel and the metal detector, and I'm finding, I don't know, I'm hoping to find something interesting. And then yes, turn it into an addiction, because why not? Who had Tony Fine's giant necklace around skull in backyard for October, for 2020? Because
I did. Bingo.
Bingo. There we go.
I did my card.
Maybe we'll come across something. I don't know. Could be interesting. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hey, Tony and Jen. My name is Brendan. I just wanted to call in and let you know, I recently started listening to your guys' show. I'm a really big fan. What you guys do is, I think it's really great, and I think it's a really good, you know, a way for people to voice, you know, how they're feeling. I wanted to tell you my story. It happened about 2 years ago. The near-death experience, if you will, you can put it that way. Long story short, I was hit by a car walking to my friend's house. And anyway, to start from the beginning, it was probably 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. I just left the bars. I go to a university in Ohio. And anyway, long story short, I was separated from my buddies at the bar. And we had this, you know, rule of thumb, you know, if we would lose each other in the bar, you know, just start walking back to the house or find a ride back to the house. And that's what I started doing. I was actually... my phone was dead, so I couldn't Uber or do, you know, the right thing and not, you know, drink and drive. So I started, you know, walking back to my house, essentially, my friend's house, essentially. And I remember I was, you know, walking, and all of a sudden I saw the aurora of, like, the headlights behind me. And I wasn't drugged. I was, you know, I was sort of buzzed, but I knew what I was doing. I knew I wasn't, you know, in the street or anything like that. And anyway, I was hit from behind, and I remember getting, you know, swung down to the ground. And first, I didn't feel any pain. You know, I you know, I knew something was wrong, though. It was just that pure adrenaline feeling that you get, and it's that fight or flight instinct. And immediately, you know, when I was swung down to the ground, I knew my right leg was just totally mangled and destroyed. And I remember trying to get up and walk, and I couldn't. I was actually hit so hard that I broke out of the laces in my shoes, and I probably flew, I'd say about 15 feet into the middle of the street from the initial impact of the car hitting me. And it was a hit and run, unfortunately. So long story short, the car ended up taking off, and I remember, you know, I had no choice but to crawl to the, you know, the side of the street off to the road. And I was come to find out, you know, I was losing blood a lot. I had 3 compound fractures to my tibia, which is the bone sticking out of, you know, skin. I know that's pretty disgusting. And later on, come to find out as well, I had like a micro severed, you know, artery in my leg. From that bone that popped out of my leg, it severed, you know, it was like a micro incision on that artery. And I was losing a lot of blood, and I remember, you know, my first instinct, you know, once I got over to the side of the road, you know, that was the most comfortable I've ever felt in my entire life. And, you know, just feeling the dirt underneath, like, you know, my hands. And I just knew I was out of, you know, the way of, you know, possibly getting hit again. And I laid there for maybe, I'm going to say, 1.5 to 2 hours. And, you know, I remember seeing, you know, cars just drive on by, and I couldn't do anything just because, you know, I was becoming unresponsive at the time. I became unresponsive twice that night. And the feeling that I got through this all, I remember, you know, once the adrenaline started wearing off, you know, I remember, you know, a warm sensation coming over me, and I believe I always had a guardian angel. I believe, you know, my Nana, who passed away about 15 years ago, you know, I'm 25 now, you know, I was, you know, around, I want to say like 10, she probably passed, you know, 10 years ago. I was probably around like 10, 15 years old in between there, age-wise. And I always thought, you know, she just watched over us just because there were just so many signs, you know, that she was watching over us. Those are other, you know, ghost paranormal stories that I could definitely call in and tell you guys about. But anyway, back to the accident, you know, I remember feeling the sensation of her. It was a voice that sort of told me, hey, you need to move. You need to get out of the way. You need to keep pushing. You need to stay strong and don't give up. Because I could easily have given up that night and, you know, lost that mentality to live. And that could have easily happened just because of all these cars that were flying by, and every car that I saw, you know, unfortunately, I was losing hope. And, you know, it was just very easy, you know, just to, you know, give up on life. And, you know, that this feeling of like overwhelming warmth and comfort, and it was almost like I felt something, you know, sort of grab the back of my shirt and sort of give me that strength to pull myself over onto the ditch. I ended up going about 50 feet, I want to say, off to the side of the street. And, you know, if I didn't have that guardian angel with me, I really don't think I would be here. You know, it's really amazing, you know, to know there's possibly somebody watching you at all times. And, you know, yeah, that, I mean, that's, I'm fully, almost fully recovered now. 26 surgeries later, my leg was mangled. I was in pretty bad shape. And, you know, I'm just lucky to be alive, and I'm grateful, you know, every day. You know, I'm taking life every day, and I'm actually back in nursing school, back to my last year. I'm about to finish up. So, you know, I'm really grateful, you know, of what's going on in my life right now. So yeah, I mean, that's my story. You know, I'm sort of really, I get shooken up just, you know, talking about it, but anybody that has sort of experienced anything like that, they know where I'm coming from. And I hope you guys can use this and hopefully, you know, spread the word that, you know, you may have somebody watching over you, and when you least expect it, they may reach in your life and give you that strength to move forward. All right, guys. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us on the program. What are your thoughts?
I have so many emotions. Like, I'm feeling a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was horrific. It was fascinating. Mm-hmm. It was kind of reassuring. Like, there were so many emotions and just listening to that. But the fact that he lived through that, mm-hmm. and I totally 100% believe that's what happened.
Sure.
You know, that he did have that person saying, you can do it, mm-hmm. and you know, you've got to fight this and continue breathing and don't give up. Because he could have. He had every, I mean, the injuries he had were horrific. And to be by yourself that long, of course you'd feel like giving up.
Yeah. I mean, you would lose hope at some point.
And he was doing the right thing by walking home.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, you know, it's for him and his life, obviously it sounded like it was just kind of a, wow, it's like life before this moment and life after this moment and your right? understanding of it. And
I think there are times in your life. In fact, I really feel like my sister right now, she had the coronavirus with pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
Her and her husband both.
Yeah.
They were extremely sick.
Yeah.
And coming out of the other side of it, and she's still not fully recovered. But the gratefulness that she feels,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, it's just like you were given a second chance, and he truly was given a second chance.
Sure.
You know, it just changes who you are.
Yeah.
And it makes a lot of things just seem unimportant.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think, you know, in a case like that, that there's something else. There's a reason that he didn't die that night.
Sure.
Who knows what the reasons are? You know, you could be in the right place at the right time, help somebody. I don't know. But I just think that there's a reason he's still here.
I agree.
You know, and because I've had that with my dad, and we've talked about that before. There's a couple of things that I really, 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 really felt my dad's presence.
Mm-hmm.
And so I truly believe that.
I completely agree. I think there's just so many things that can match up time-wise that there's no, when you start to look at it even deeper, it's like, well, that's weird. And this is, you know, how did this all play together to make this story happen? And at the end of it, you're just kind of like, I have no idea. It's just like how little power, you know, you actually have in this world when you think you may have great amounts of it. how little you have when it comes to what it seems to be destiny or just the universe itself, the way things will work themselves together. Far more coincidental and bizarre than some of us could ever really even write up in a story.
Yeah. And in that guy's case, you know, like, not only did he have that horrific experience and, mm-hmm. you know, fighting through that night, mm-hmm. but my God, think of everything he's had to endure since then.
Yeah.
Recovery from that, you know, and it's fighting through it. There's a reason he's here.
Yeah. It certainly changes you. And I mean, obviously, I think a lot of it, all of us, for the most part, I think, are going through it in some way, shape, or form. When you have national type events where you have 9/11, you have COVID right now. I mean, you had, you know, before that Pearl Harbor and such. What's interesting about those sort of things is in the lifetime of most living, those events would take place and they were, you know, fairly short lived, the event itself. But then you saw the other side of it. This is one where it's dragging on. What is the end? Everybody's like, what is the other side going to look like? What is the other side? You know? And so, but I certainly think for many of us, it's made us, you know, really take a closer look at what matters. At least I hope it has. I don't know that it's necessarily made a lot of people nicer yet, because I think so many people are on edge, and that's understandable. Where you end up getting, you know, just kind of, you know, it's easy to get set off by stuff, just seeing how, you know, conflicted we can be right now. But I do hope that in the end of all this, that it does, the perspective of being thankful for what you have and being nicer to others is the payday at the end of all this. And right now we're just really going through that frustration part, but I don't know.
And just knowing there could be like your grandmother or your dad or somebody yeah. looking for you is kind of comforting.
It is. It you know? Really is. And I think it's something that, you know, when you have little bits of evidence, that's great. And that and hold on to those, because those can be things that will help you through tough times. Thank you for sharing that that story and that experience with us. I greatly appreciate it. Quickly before we wrap up, if you want to hear a funny one that we were talking about coincidences in time and why on earth this, you know, things happen. And this is I don't know why, but right after me and Carol get done recording this episode, we're going to be recording an episode of our other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia. And if you've not checked that out, be sure to check it out. It's not never really been designed to do a promo here right now, because it's not. But I put together an episode tonight for us to do that is going to be about 1970 fall. And there was two very famous plane crashes that happened back to back, Wichita State and Marshall. And for some reason tonight, when I was on Wikipedia, I mean, I look up, you know, disasters, things of that nature, because that's really what the show is about. It's about, you know, dark pieces of history. And I was trying to think, you know, let's try and find one that's somewhat localized to one of us, that maybe one of us is, you know, would have some memory of happening. And so I thought, Wichita State, that was the one we should talk about. That would be an interesting one. And so I put that together, and then I pigeonholed down to the Marshall, their plane crash, which was literally like 40 days after. And just as we were about to close here, I pulled up Facebook, and a friend of ours, Jeremy Hubbard, has just did a piece on his TV station in Denver. He's an anchor on Fox Denver, called Overshadowed the Wichita State Football Crash. First thing that pops up on my feed. And wow. He just aired it today. And I'm like, what are the odds that I just randomly found that just decided to grab that story earlier with no inclination of seeing this or anything? And then boom, that is the first topic that pops up. And it's not like, you know, it's an Amazon ad or something for a book about it. He posted this 30 minutes ago, just saying, here's the piece that I put together for the news tonight. It's just kind of weird timing, but anyhow, I guess that was 40 years ago, coming up here in October, or 50th anniversary.
Yeah, I think so. It was in the 70s.
Yes, it was 1970, I believe. So, so anyway, that's just one of those weird things that you see come together. So I guess I'm on the right track by making that our topic for this evening on Dark Side of Wikipedia, which, of course, you can listen to when you subscribe to that on Apple Podcasts or wherever. Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia, and that one will be airing later in the year, probably in October, I believe. So, all right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like our show, become an extra podcast person, EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Sign up monthly, $5 a month, or a full year, get 1 month free. And all of the extras are all there for you. Ghostpodcast or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.